Right, okay. Today is Good Friday, 2011, April the 21st.
22nd.
22nd. And I'm going to interview my father. Full name is Rodney Lionel Ramsey. And my name is Paul Anthony Ramsey, and I'm his eldest son. And I was born on the 4th of September 1959, and you were born...
24th of May 1934.
Right. Okay, and the purpose of this is just to sort of really to record a conversation with my father, just have a chat about the past. It's not 20 questions or anything like that, and the idea is that I hope to make a series of these recordings so we don't have to say everything there and then, but the idea is just for us to chat, so I don't have to put your telephone voice on or your radio
voice.
Are
you going to put each individual person on a disc?
Yeah, well...
So that anybody wanted to check perhaps I was like, or mother was like, or...
Yeah, see how these things go.
They just sort of select the right one and play it.
Yeah.
Mm. Sure. Good idea.
So let me just ask, just to get us going, let me just ask a few sort of biographical questions. So what's your earliest memory?
Well, believe it or not, I can remember sitting in my pram and leaning forward and looking round the shade that was up, you know, the hood.
Yeah.
Across the living room when I lived down South Lee Road.
So what would you have been, about one or less than one?
It's hard to say, but it's something like that, yeah.
Right, okay. And what house was that in?
That was 11 South Lee Road, Swanscombe.
Right. Did you like that house?
Well... Yes, I've got very happy memories of living there with my parents because they got on very well. We lived my grandfather, my mother's father, as well, until he died.
What was his name?
That was Robert Jeffries.
Right.
And he was about 82, I think, when he died.
Okay, so your mother's maiden name was obviously Jeffries.
Jeffries, yeah.
Did you know your maternal grandmother, his wife?
No, she died... well, she didn't die before I was born, because there was a photograph of her cuddling a little baby, which I'm told was me.
Right.
And I suppose I was about 6 months when she died, so I never really got to know her.
Do you know what her name was?
Georgina.
Georgina. Georgina Jeffries. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Whether she had a middle name or not, I don't know.
And did you ever really know much about her then?
No.
You didn't know where she come from or anything?
Well, I don't know whether she was local to Swanscombe or whether my grandfather came down from Stowmarket in Suffolk.
Right.
I don't know why he came down this way, but it was probably in a time when there was an exodus from the land, because he was a bit of a farm boy.
Yeah.
Down to where there was more work, I guess.
Right.
So that he could get married. I don't even know whether he came down married or met her in Swanscombe.
So he could have come down as a very young man, or maybe in his 20s.
I just don't know.
No. So part of our family kind of comes from... where did you say it was?
Well, Suffolk.
Suffolk.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And we don't know where grandmother comes from.
No, I've no idea. She could have come with him.
Yeah.
They might have been married. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I suppose records would show, you know, if you went back tracing your ancestors, you could find that out perhaps.
Okay. So, what is your next memory, would you say? Do you sort of jump forward to when you were 2 or 5? Or?
Well, the other memory, I suppose, that sort of sticks in my mind, I mean, it was just ordinary family life, as far as I was concerned, was my dad going away for the odd day and sometimes a weekend because he was in the Territorial Army.
Right, oh, okay.
And then when the war broke out, he volunteered for the Army and went away, and then he was in the Army.
He was away for a long time.
For five years. He came home very occasionally.
Mm.
And then he was... sent to Norway when the war was almost over to sort of help with the liberation of that country.
Mm, but it was a time when he was away a great deal.
He was away a great deal, and in that time my sister was born, and when he came home after being demobbed, she didn't know him. She wouldn't go to him.
Right.
Which hurt him a lot, I do know.
Yeah, they must have done.
But, I mean, obviously, she gradually came around. But, you know, he missed a big chunk of family life when we were small.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get the chronology. So in 1939, when war broke out, would you have been six?
Five. I started school in 1939.
And when was your sister Pam born?
Now let me think. She was 3 years younger than me. So she'd have been born in 1937, same age as Mum, my wife.
So she would have been born before the war?
Just, yeah.
Just. So he would have seen her up to age two, and that's when that's what you're saying, then he went away.
Yeah. I can remember, we were somewhere along that line, and I can't exactly remember where, my father and my grandfather dug a big hole at the top of the garden.
This is your maternal grandfather?
My maternal grandfather, yeah. I don't know much about the other chap at all, father's father.
Okay.
To receive an Anderson shelter in the garden.
Yeah.
And I remember them putting it up, and I can remember them working out there with a lead lamp when it got dark.
Can you just tell us what an Anderson shelter was?
Well, it was something that was supplied by the government. I don't know whether... I think you didn't have to have one, but it was there if you wanted it. It was very, very heavy gauge, corrugated steel, not just iron, steel. And you had about six sheets that came up and met over in the top like that, and two end pieces. And then you backed it all up with earth.
Basically a family-sized air raid shelter.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if the bigger the family, you'd have more sections,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And both ends were the same, but the main entrance, you left a sheet off so that you get in and out easily. But you had a big spanner down there, and the other end was exactly the same, but the sheet was in position, but you could have unbolted it to get out.
Right, okay.
If the entrance was damaged or whatever.
Blocked. I should imagine people weren't supposed to put anything in there, but did they? Did you find people used them for other things as well?
To be honest, I was too young to know.
Mm.
But knowing people, I would have thought they probably did.
Yeah.
If not then, certainly after the war, because you kept them.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Well,
they
yeah.
stayed with you. I think they would have been taken away if you wanted them taken
maybe
away.
Force your rhubarb or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Put you no, they made a jolly handy little shed, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, they were well established after about 6 years.
Yeah. Okay.
6 or 7 years, and
so going back a little bit, you told us that your father went into the Territorial Army.
Well, he was in the Territorial Army
prior to the war. So what was he actually doing as his what was his job?
What did he do? The Territorial Army.
What did he do as his day to day?
Oh, he worked down one of the local paper mills. He was a paper packer.
Right.
Doesn't sound much, but it was quite a skilled job.
Because
you had to count the paper as well.
Yeah.
And
the factory work.
Yeah.
And do you think he liked it or tolerated
it? Well, it was a job. I mean, they'd all come through the Depression. My grandfather went out of business during that time.
This is his father?
He was a local builder and undertaker. Yeah, his father.
Yeah.
And I suppose he was just content because he'd got a family to have a job with a regular wage.
Yeah. Do you ever remember him moaning about it or saying much about it?
Not really, no. Not certainly not in front of us. And he wouldn't have moaned to me. I was too young, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known what he was talking about.
I get the impression that he was quite happy there.
Yeah.
Happy enough.
With other
so
people, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
On the floor that he worked, packing the paper, there was quite a lot of other people doing the same sort of job, and you know, esprit de corps and all that.
Yeah, that's what I've. Going to say, yeah. You know, sometimes they used to have parties and things, or factory life can be quite jolly if you get the right mix of people, can't
that's
it?
Right. And I mean, there were both sexes working because it was a job that women could do as well, even if it was only moving the stuff around on trolleys, you know.
Yeah, so he was doing that prior to the war, he was doing that and a bit of Territorial Army, and then of course when the war came along he went into the army
I have no idea what he worked. He was in the Royal Artillery and it was heavy ACAC, so that's firing at the aircraft.
Big guns firing at the aircraft. Right.
And, of course, searchlights are there as well. And I think he was on the searchlights.
Right.
But what he actually did, I've no idea.
No. You said to us that he ended up in Norway, is that right, towards the end of the war? But what do you know where he was prior to that? Was he kind of just in the country? Or?
Oh, well, he was at Thaxted in Essex one turn. I remember him coming home and telling my mum all about it. I mean, it didn't mean anything to me because they were just words, you know, too young to appreciate it. And near the time he went to Norway, he was stationed down at Charing in Kent.
Right.
And he liked it there as well because he was out in the country, basically on a farm. And, you know, they got to know the people. And they used to let soldiers have a bath in their farmhouse and things like that, eggs supplied. Or to buy, I mean, I didn't give them away.
So as much as it's possible, did he have quite a good war, would you say?
Yes, the biggest problem for him, I should think, was being separated from the family.
Yeah.
You know, especially once he was abroad. I mean, while you're in this country, you could occasionally get home. He didn't come home a lot because the war was on, there was always the imminent fear of an invasion. So I can remember him coming home one day and he actually had a rifle with him. He had to carry a rifle and he'd got ammunition to put in it as well.
Yeah, so it was all live.
This was, I'll tell you, this was during the Battle of Britain.
Yeah. So that would have been when the Battle of Britain was 41, is that right? Or was it earlier than that?
No, about 1940, 41. 40. Yeah, okay. It was a glorious summer, like this. And I can, you know, the pictures you've seen of vapor trails in the skies?
Yeah.
I remember looking up at those.
Yeah.
You know, and he had this gun.
Yeah.
And he even got the loaded magazine on the gun, laying on my grandfather's cold frame in the garden. And everybody else was down the shelter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when the dogfights were going on, I know they weren't dropping bombs, but there was cartridge cases and bits of plane flying about everywhere, you know. And you didn't know where, so you just kept out of the way.
Yeah.
Could have been a plane.
So did we have any relatives killed in the war, do you know?
I don't think we did. I had an aunt and uncle in Broad Road in Swanscombe near the park who were bombed out. And one of my mother's brothers, she had two brothers.
So bombed out, I mean, I know it's well, obvious the house in a way, was but it destroyed. Just means completely destroyed.
No, not completely destroyed, but it was made uninhabitable until emergency repairs had been done. I mean, most of the glass goes when a bomb drops.
I'm sorry,
and ceilings this? Come down.
Who is this affected?
My mother's eldest brother.
Right.
Do you know his name? Wife and family.
What was his name?
That was my uncle Claude Jeffries.
Right. And what did people do in those circumstances? Where did they were put up by friends and family, were they?
Well, if that were possible, yeah, because, I mean, there was a lot of pressure on the local authorities, you know, because if it wasn't for, if the relatives couldn't help, then they had to sort of step in and find some, you know, community huts and things like that were filled up with people under certain needs. Then you'd get emergency repair people going round. I mean, there weren't that many because the able-bodied blokes were in the war anyway.
Yes.
So you've got very elderly or young Herberts going around doing these repairs.
Or infirm people that probably couldn't do too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people who were exempt from joining the army for various reasons, like flat feet and things like that. My uncle was exempt from... I mean, he was fit, but he was a bricklayer. So his services were needed. I remember him talking about going up and helping to build the RAF stations up in Norfolk.
Yeah.
Where big air bases up there, especially the Yanks.
So there were some trades that were almost like the same as a medical profession. You kind of needed them. You couldn't spare
them. That's right. I mean, you needed a X amount. I mean, whether he'd, I don't know whether he had bad eyes or anything like that, but certainly wasn't too bad.
So bricklayers, did they remain civilians, or were you sort of military and
What happened there, he remained a civilian and worked for a firm, but he was also an ARP warden. He had to do a share of fire watching and
put that bloody light out.
Yes, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay. So going back, so you lived in Southleet Road, which is in Swanscott.
I lived there until I was 25 and got married.
Okay, and your uncle Claude lived in Swanscott and he was bombed out. So obviously Swanscott was bombed.
Oh yes.
So can you tell us a little bit what that was like?
Poor old Swanscott had one of the first doodlebugs, the flying bombs.
Oh right. Well,
really and we had an early rocket as well when they started coming over.
Right.
And we had a large bomb near where I lived, because we were right close to the school, and I think the school itself looked like a factory.
Right.
So that they tried to bomb it, but it missed and it landed right out in the middle of the field.
Did you feel at all worried by this, or were you too young to?
I was too young to appreciate the danger. All my mates and I, we just had a good time watching the aircraft.
Mm.
You know, they used to come over.
Could it possible to say how you thought maybe your mum felt?
Must have been very worried.
Did you ever see any sign of that? Or?
No, not to recognise it. You know, I mean, my dad wrote regular. I don't know how regular that was.
Mm.
But, you know, she was always writing back to him, things like that.
Yeah.
And
so you kids went out and you gathered shrapnel, is that right?
Yeah. Used to do that on the way to school. If the raids had been sort of early hours of the morning or later, it was still warm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that the shrapnel you're talking about is the pieces of the exploding shells that were shot up at the aircraft.
Yes, yeah.
It wasn't anything to do with the bombs.
Right.
Because that, like, well, most of that, I suppose, was buried.
I must admit, I never really thought about that. I just thought shrapnel was just sort of any of the shard metal, you know.
I suppose it could have been the odd piece from a bomb, but
what you're saying is that that shrapnel was mainly a particular type of thing. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you told me you watched a dogfight once. Is that right?
Well, I didn't watch it. I had a quick glance because my grandfather and my dad were out there watching it. And you know what, boys and I, he wanted to have a look as well.
Yeah.
As soon as they realised I was out there, I was sent back down the shelter, but I had a good 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. And what was it like? Was it exciting?
It was happening so far away up in the air, it was just like little smoke trails. You weren't aware. I didn't know what they were doing.
Mm.
You know? And it was just aeroplanes in the sky.
You would literally be witnessing part of the Battle of Britain, would you then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The dogfighting.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, if only I could have appreciated it at the time and had a camera there.
And so let's just remind us, how old roughly would you have been for that then? This must be 41.
Well, I'd have been six.
Six.
Mm. Old enough to know that something was going on, but not enough to know how serious it was, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you have a love of aircraft, so do you think it comes from that sort of period?
Yeah, I always liked... No, I don't think it was born by then. I used to like watching the planes. Anyway, I could never understand how they stayed up there.
Mm.
I mean, my old grandfather used to say, well, it's the air going under the wings. I thought, that doesn't say a lot. You know, in theory, I know he was telling me right, but you have to appreciate that plane is going along at perhaps nearly 100 miles an hour to be able to stay up there like that, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Were you able to get any closer to planes at all? Was there any
No.
You never saw a Spitfire close up or anything like that?
Well, only, I don't know quite how late.
Did you have any crash landings or anything?
Oh, no. Not that I saw, anyway.
Mm.
We used to go out sometimes and after a skirmish in the sky, you might see the odd parachute coming down, but it was always way, way, way away.
Right, okay. You know? And of course, Swanscombe in those days was quite...
Well, there was a lot of heavy industry. Swanscombe was, but near the river you've got the docks.
Okay.
And oil terminals and things like that, and the factories. They didn't know whether it was making paper or machine guns.
So was Swanscombe sort of partly fields and farms then? What was yes. it like? Tell us about what it was like.
Swanscombe was a little village in those days. I mean, you walked yeah. up Swanscombe Street, past a very old pub, Georgian, I think it would have been, and the field was so much higher than the road. There was a wall, retaining wall there, and over the top there was three great big horse chestnuts.
Yeah.
Beautiful trees, you know, when they was all in full bloom in the summer, gorgeous sight. Then there was the old Elizabethan manor house behind the church.
Right.
And just beyond that was fields.
Hmm.
You know, wasn't very much at all.
What about shops?
Well, there was the odd shop in the village, and then you walked down to Galley Hill near the station, and you'd got like a small high street there with shops either side.
So Galley Hill was sort of the sort of shopping.
That was the shopping. Centre. I mean, in those days, people shopped locally. So yeah. I can remember being sent up. There was two fish and chip shops, and two butchers. Another butcher's around there. Another butcher's around Cranon's Lane, which was the other side of Swanscombe.
Right.
And they were well served. Oh, and there was a co-op up there. They had a butcher's and a big grocery department. And over the top, there was a great big function room that people could hire for weddings.
Right.
Which is where Mum and I had our wedding reception.
Oh, okay.
And
so did you ever, I mean, now when we lived in Swanscombe, which was sort of going through in the 60s into the 70s, when we wanted to do our big shopping, we would go to Gravesend. Did you used to do in those days?
No, we used to go down Galley Hill. There was a big grocery shop there called Addison's.
Right.
And
so that was all self-contained. You no need to go anywhere else for any shopping.
No, you always bought local one. The prices didn't vary. In fact, I think during the war, prices were controlled. If you bought a newspaper or a box of matches, it was the same price for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, everything else.
You said that there were more than one butcher. So the fact that they weren't really rivals as much as just supplying.
Oh, no, that's right. One of those couldn't have supplied the whole of Swanscombe.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that may have been able to do that, and that would have been working overtime, would have been the co-op.
Mm.
Purely because of their storage capacity, you know.
Yeah. And were there any particular sort of characters, eccentric types in the shops that you came for? Any shops you didn't like going into because of the old guy in there or anything?
I suppose the most, I'll say frightening one for a young child, there was a, Hodges was the shop, an old man Hodge, little old boy. It was a cycle shop, you know, he didn't sell cycles, just spares.
Yeah.
Wheels and tubes, tyres and all that.
Yeah.
And he had these very thick glasses which magnified his eyes. You know what I mean?
They're like Peter Cushing in that film we like.
As he sort of moved and turned his head a bit, that sort of showed up.
Yeah.
Worse sometimes than others, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of thing you'd have in a comedy show, really.
Yeah.
But for then, it was real.
You didn't
used
to like him much.
Mm. What about, it was just a little bit frightening for a youngster, you know?
Yeah. What about Barker's? They made ice cream.
Yeah, he was there.
Was that a sort of a favourite shop?
I don't know about favourite. It was just handy. Because we lived in Southfleet Road, and then you went up just round the corner, right up Swanscombe Street.
Mm.
And past Eglinton Road, and his shop was halfway down there.
But I always remember when you went in there, he had certificates up for the quality of his ice cream. So it must wasn't it sort of a special treat to go and get an ice cream or not?
It was a special treat to be able to get ice cream anywhere in those days because of rationing.
Right.
Because, you know, the milk and the other ingredients were on ration.
Oh, okay.
So when a shop had got ice cream for sale, everybody went there because once it's gone, it's gone.
Right. Okay.
Until next time, you know.
So what else did Barker sell then to keep going?
Only sweets.
Just sweets.
Yeah.
I should imagine they were in short supply.
Well, again, yes, they were. You wouldn't believe the shops. We go down Galley Hill, and there was a double-fronted shop there that was a baker's. And the name of the people that ran it and owned it was Goldings.
Mm.
And they were so sort of strapped for materials that only one half of the shop was used.
Right.
For the cakes that they were able to make
and
the bread.
Mm.
And there was another baker's up there, further up, And because of rations again, he had a quota.
Yeah.
And that was it. In this half of the window, they used to put clean newspaper in there.
Okay.
And perhaps stand a vase with some flowers in it, just to fill the window, or decorate the window, shall we say.
Did people, so for example, would your mum bake her own bread or make her own cakes? Or
was my mum made the cakes. Ingredients was limited? I don't ever remember anybody making bread.
Right.
Again, because you couldn't get the ingredients. Mm. You know, I mean, you got a ration of flour and dried fruits and the sugar. And, you know, you only had one egg a week per person, and I think that was only the adults.
Yeah.
So many ounces of bacon and so many ounces of meat from the butchers, and I mean, you take all your coupons up there, and each person's ration was put together, and he gave you a piece of meat. Well, you often people eat that much on their own, you know.
Yeah,
a bit of cheese.
And you presumably you supplemented this, you used to grow vegetables in
my
your
well. We were lucky, my old grandfather, coming from the land like he did, he always had an allotment. And he had two rod of allotment. That's two whole set allotments for people.
Yeah.
I mean, he only had that because it was available. If anybody else had needed it, probably he'd have given one up.
But, yeah.
I mean, he was old then. He'd retired.
Well, I remember you saying he was very hard working.
Oh, man, was he hard working. He puts me to shame. He's always done that. Because he was, I mean, he had lumbago and he was only a little old boy. He used to lug his old barrow up there. I can remember helping him push tins or containers of water up there in the dry season.
And he was, during the war, he'd be in his 80s, is that right?
Or yeah, 70s? As I say, in 47, he was about 82, 83 when he died. I can't remember exactly.
Right. Yeah. To go back to the cooking just for a little bit, so do you remember your mum, was she a good cook?
Oh yes. Well I only ever knew her cooking.
I enjoyed it.
I can remember sitting in a high chair and having a hard boiled egg with soldiers.
Yeah.
But not hard boiled, a soft boiled egg.
Yeah.
And dipping it. I used to like an egg.
And what did she cook, anything that you remember that was your favourite?
I used to like her stews. I always liked a stew. Oh,
that's interesting, because we like mum's stew, don't we? So maybe you like stew.
Yeah. In fact, mum is very much like my mum when it comes to cooking.
Mm.
You know, her food is just like I remember.
Mm. Was your mum a little bit like Pam? I mean, given that she's relative.
Mm.
So you would
in
so,
build as well.
So if I looked at Pam, I'm seeing something of your mum in her sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I know because of the shortage of things, my sister always wanted a doll. Of course, she couldn't get them for love and money.
Mm.
Especially good ones, China, you know, as they were then.
Mm.
And you used to buy a face and put it on a stuffed rag doll that you made.
Yeah,
you know,
which
I think my mum made one of those. I can't remember for sure, but I remember she got hold of a little set of wheels for a pram. And she made a cardboard body on it. You know, my sister used to push that.
Yeah. Well, the thing about kids, like we say, don't we, that they, you get them of a big sort of fancy truck and then they end up playing with the box.
Well, yeah. Because the box could be anything you want it to be.
Well, if you imagine you have a doll that maybe, you know, made a mixture of cardboard and rags, but provided that child's imagination is fully functioning like they always are, then in a way it doesn't really matter, does it?
Maybe
to us it looks a bit sort of pathetic, but actually
it's what's in the child's mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, when you were young you used to play with the chopped firewood.
Yeah.
And you had hours of fun with
it. I know. Yeah. Still got some chopped firewood in my flat.
Yeah.
Okay. So when your sister was born, you say there's 3 years between you, is that right?
Yeah.
Did you ever have a sense of rivalry, or did you sort of like having a sister, or how did you feel about it?
I think I liked having a sister. No, I don't remember. I don't remember ever resenting her in any way.
No. Did you squabble? Did you fight?
Oh, well, it was always a tussle between siblings, boys or girls.
Yeah. So I think we'll just pause it there.
Mm.